is just devastated by the loss of her family. And she has gone down a dark path. So she's on opium. She's an alcoholic. And, you know, Ann Baxter plays this wonderfully. You know, Ann Baxter was very young, very nice looking. And so it's hard to make her look horrible. But to her credit, because of her acting chops, she, you know, like you were saying, Jean Tierney and all the friends, Tyrone Power, her husband and mom, they all go out. Jean Tierney wants to slum, you know, because they think that's funny. And we were talking about the class system that was in Europe. Jean Tierney, she comes from money. Her uncle, Clifton Webb's character, they come from money. And so to go to be with the locals, they're slumming, okay, that night. So they see Sophie, and they're all like, oh my gosh. But didn't Larry ask, he asked Isabel about Sophie as the thing, like, you know, thinking that she would still keep in contact with her after the accident. And he kind of felt shocked or, you know, kind of dismayed that Isabel, like, you know, just whatever. And then Isabel said, well, I tried to keep up with her, but, you know, she went on another way. So she just dismissed poor Sophie. Yeah. Then they see her in the bar, in the club, and she is just toe up. She is just, it's sad. It's really sad.
It is so sad to see the way this character has, and she, in the way that she plays this role is, she even looks puffy. I mean, she just looks like she's kind of deteriorated, and I thought, man, what an acting job for Ann Baxter to be able to pull this off like this. I mean, she's so convincing that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you remember how she was early in the movie. She's all
bright and light, just cute,
and everything. And it was kind of shocking.
She just went down,
And as Moya so well pointed out, he has taken on the role of trying to help her out here.
Right.
And so when they go to the restaurant scene later on where they're all together, she is turning down liquor every single time that it's offered to her. And you can tell, like, it's taking an effort. She's stealing herself up for it, but she's doing it successfully. And Larry is looking on with her with such pride, like, but he's not saying a word, but, you know.
Because at this point, what we left out, he takes on the role of reformer and savior. He takes on the role of trying to rehab her.
Yeah.
And because we saw earlier how he helped Gray with his migraines, and Larry basically hypnotized him.
Yes.
And stopped his migraines. So, and this is what he was taught when he went to visit the holy man about, you know, how to get a hold of yourself and try to take hold of your destiny. And this, you know, this is, you know, like we said, this is what's going on at the time. And this is what happens, how he uses his own Gray and how he uses his own Sophie. So, and then, so also in this time frame with Sophie is, you know, she's sober. And but again, this is so, like, anybody who's had gone through addiction or anything, the way, I don't know if Baxter studied people who are addiction and withdrawals, but someone had to. Because even today, anyone who's gone through addiction and rehab and they're clean and sober, the way she played it, no, she's not actively abusing anymore, but she still is traumatized. She's struggling. It's like every breath, every act of trying to be sober is just as crushing as if she's taking something.
Yeah, because it takes such effort.
It takes
such effort. Because the desire is still there.
Right.
But she is trying to master it. She's still, every moment she's trying to conquer it. I mean, it's still an active, ongoing thing. You know, it's not natural to her.
Right.
But she is still, you know, she, and you see, like Moya said, Larry was so successful in helping out the Gray character, Isabel's husband, and yet you see him again, where we think he's achieving success and helping out Sophie.
Right.
And that this whole scene right here lays the groundwork for Isabel making an interesting proposal to Sophie. She says, well, how about as a wedding gift to you, I want to buy your wedding dress for you. And he says, oh, she's already got it. She goes, no, we'll go shopping tomorrow.
Right.
I'll pick you out a wedding dress, but you need to come to my house tomorrow at 3, and then we'll go and we'll shop for a wedding dress. And so the next
we left this out. So Isabel is furious because Larry has offered to marry Sophie. Now, there is nothing romantic going on whatsoever, but this is the part of him rehabbing her, which, okay, let's just park it right there. I didn't appreciate that at all. You're doing me a favor by marrying me. I mean, so I think that made Sophie feel even worse, because this is a pity play. So I think that helped bring her down. It would have bring me down. To know Tyrone Power doesn't really love me, just marry me because I'm a crackhead and trying to reform me. I think that was pressure on her too. I don't know if you see it like that.
I think that he always looked on her as somebody that he felt a great fondness for. I don't know if it was the love and the passion that he had.
No.
But there was still, I think, it was still a love, but it was kind of like, in a way, like maybe how you would love a sister, a little sister, or a...
Yeah, but you don't marry a sister unless, you know,
and they shared poetry together, and there's a scene that I want to talk about later on about the poetry and that they shared together. And they did have that. So, I guess you really touched on it. You know,
Sophie,
I can't deny that.
If I'm Sophie, I think that would have added to my angst and anxiety about getting sober, because he had not dealt with the traumas. And like we do, like people mess up with rehab, unless you go and deal with the traumatic event. And of course, the movie would have been 5 hours long, I guess, if they went and tried to do all that. But unless you deal with the trauma, you know, you're just trying to whitewash it. And, you know, so I think the way it was presented, I think it added more to, it was just doomed to fail with her. So we'll kind of jump in. So now Gene Tierney is again pressuring Sophie, because that's another thing. Sophie, I'm going to just say this. When people coming out of rehab, and unless they have, you know, money and support, you kind of look a certain way, you kind of dress a certain way. So she looks shabby, okay?
She
looks shabby. And that's on purpose, because like I said, she's a drug addict. So she doesn't have resources or what, and Tyrone Powell is poor as a church mouse, so he doesn't have resources to get us some nice clothes. Exactly. So here comes Isabel.
Impeccably dressed,
you know. And now I'm going to take it for a wedding gown. So it's like, you know, trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. That's more pressure on her. Tyrone Power knows it. Mom knows it. But Isabel now is, poor Sophie is in the path of her wrath. And oh boy. Okay, now go ahead.
Yeah, and there's even a scene where Sophie feels very apologetic. She goes, I'll be a good wife to him. I will. She goes, remember, I was once before when she was married, you know, with a wife and child. And so she feels almost apologetic. But she knows that this is her one chance.
Right.
And she can't blow it. This is her big chance to get out of the life that she'd been living.
Exactly.
Okay, so we go to the following day, and Sophie and Isabel are in her home. And she feels a little uncomfortable because there's this grand home that she's in. And lo and behold, there is a beautifully a tray, mm-hmm. and it's got that same liqueur.
Right, that they had earlier. Another scene had went on and on and on about, it was Clifton Webb's favorite drink and Gene Tierney, they were drinking it in front of Sophie, which was burning Tyrone Power up because they know she's in recovery. And they're going on and on, and they kept offering Sophie, and she kept, you know, resisting. And so here's the liquor now.
Yeah, and then on top of that, another thing that she does is she opens up that wound. Have you noticed that she has she says, I have to pick up my daughter from the dentist. And she says, oh, and here's a picture of my daughter. Has the picture.
Knowing that this lady has lost her child.
How old would, she goes, well, my own daughter would have been.
Right.
This
just
age.
She's looking at the picture
of this beautiful child that is
she's torturing
Isabel's. Mm-hmm. She is just absolutely tortured.
Horrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can see it all just playing out.
Right. And Ann Baxter, like I said, you know, those of us who love these movies, we love superb acting. And we're being tortured.
Yes.
The audience, you are being tortured with Ann Baxter. That's how a wonderful mom and a director and these actors are, because you and Sophie are now simpatico. And now you're being tortured with Sophie. And I don't know about, I felt as helpless as Sophie. I could have just cut the TV off and went boop or walked out the room.
I know.
But the scene, because we all know where this is going.
Yes.
But, oh Lord.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the thing is it you feel like it is a spider with a fly.
That's exactly
and
what it is.
There is... She is
no escape.
Setting this up. She's leaving her alone with this alcohol that she keeps offering to her, making her feel like she
I have to go do something. Yeah,
go pick up my daughter from the dentist, but I'm gonna leave you here.
I'll be right back. Right.
And it is like the most evil, diabolical thing that you're watching unfold here.
And I told Georgia that I said, because you know Georgia hadn't seen Razor's Edge yet. And I said, Georgia, there's a scene between Baxter and Tierney that is so evil. I said, I'm not going to tell you anything. I said, but it is one of the most villainous scenes. Forget whatever you saw, Darth Vader or whoever you think was the word, the Wicked Witch of the West. I said, this was so evil and disgusting. I said, and he was like, what is it? What could it possibly? And she was, so when I started dating, she immediately knew it. Wasn't that just the most mean thing and vile thing? That was horrible what she did to that girl.
It was not only horrible because of making her fall off the wagon, but everything that happened at that point on,
torturing her.
It was the most, you cannot possibly imagine how horrible a turn, how tragic.
Yes. And
how
we're not going to tell
you. Horrific it becomes.
And I love how the director and the writer. So you thought Sophie was in hell before she caught up with Larry and he reformed. Yeah. But Poe, like anybody, and I love it. It is really a cautionary tale about getting on dope if you want to be.
Oh, yeah.
And not having, dealing with trauma. If you really want to be honest, it is really a cautionary tale. So you think she, but after she falls off the wagon, because now she's let Larry down, and everybody's gonna know, you know, and that I'm back on the stuff. So she's just in the devil's toilet at this point, you know, with post her. So she goes on. Of course, she drinks the liquor, but then we're leaving out of peace because that dirty bee, Isabel, when she comes back, sees all the damn liquor drink, and so she's like. I think somebody called her. I don't know. She's like, I don't even like the stuff. Like mom called her. I think mom's character. He came over and and she's like,
I don't even like that stuff.
Now remember, she had gone on earlier when they first show us them drinking the liquor. Like she's like, oh, this is the best stuff. And then when mom, you know, calls her out on what she did to Sophie and what happened, she's like, I don't even like the stuff. And then basically to say, you know. When she first sees Sophie, you know, going down, I think she kind of says, well, it's sad if she can't even hold her liquor or something. Just, I love that scene. Now, that is, I told Georgia earlier, I said, I could look at that scene every day because like Joan Collins said about her Alexis Carrington's character on Dynasty, everyone loves a good bitch.
Oh.
And honey, Jean Tierney delivered. I mean, so when I first saw the movie and saw that, I couldn't believe that it happened. And you know, I've seen movies a million times, but I could not believe just how cruel that was. And I'm surprised they didn't cut it off the picture because, you know, Hollywood tried, this is, you know, whitewashing. Yeah. They could have, I'm glad they did not cut that out and they gave it to us, but it was really cruel and tough to watch on the audience. I would have been crying if that, like back in the day, what had I not been exposed to what, you know, we've seen. I would have been crying my eyes out in the, I think I'd have to leave the movie. I would have left the show. I don't think I could have finished the movie when I saw her doing that. Because that was just horrible what she did to her.
Well, you're thinking about not only how much you love the fact that Sophie is trying so hard. And what she's overcome. But you also think about, she's doing this to Larry, too.
That's a very good point.
She's doing it to him, too.
She is. She's making pay for how dare you not love me or show me you love me. Because, you know, she's like Scarlett O'Hara with Ashley. I know you love me. And Tyrone Power, Larry, he pretty much acknowledges it, but he's like, you're too dangerous. Like, you're not good for me.
Yeah.
And he knew he made the right decision, because he wasn't just running away from what happened with the war. He was running away from Isabel because he knew he could not be the man he needed to be with her, because she shunned him. You know, we go back to that. She always was a bitch.
She was. And there's a scene earlier where she's going to try and manipulate this thing and seduce him and force him to marry her. And her uncle, played by Clifton Webb, he catches on. He goes, oh, you know, she's wearing something low-cut, and she's dressed purposely this way because she's going to take him back and she's going to seduce him. And then later on, her plan is going to be, well, you got to make an honest woman out of me. But all of a sudden, at some point, just before she decides to do that, she backs out of it. She decides not to do that. And so she lets him, and so they break up. As much as it tears him up to do it.
Right.
You know, she's like, nope, that's it. We're done here.
I really think she expected him to run after her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then here we are later on where he knows that she is still caught up in, all she cares about is her lifestyle,
right,
and materialism,
right,
and all that. And if he can't deliver the goods, then it's like, well, you know, so you get the feeling she just kind of wants to keep him on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
And he
does not want to be that person anymore. He wants to be a man of morals and making a difference in the world. And so that's why I said I didn't like him taking on Sophie as a project. I know, you know, other people might read it differently, but, you know, I think, you know, nowadays we would have said, Sophie, you're gonna go to rehab, but they didn't have rehab like that back then. So
right.
You know, men were still seen as saviors for women. Marriage was still seen as some kind of saving grace for women, you know, whether it was or not. But that still was a mindset back then. So the last character we did not touch on, I'll give enough credence to Clifton Webb as the uncle. So it's hard. We don't want to give away too much. I'm not going to give away. If you get mad at Georgia, because I'm not going to give it away. He gets his comeuppance. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to give away too much.
I have never seen.
Because he was such a snob.
But Larry does something really wonderful.
He does. He does.
For him. And even
he didn't deserve
it. Uncle Elliot didn't really care for his character, Larry, at all. He didn't like him.
Right.
He does something so generous and so...
Yes.
For a person who's... wants something so badly.
Yes.
And he's dying, and he does something so wonderful and generous and considerate. For him.
Yes.
But I have to tell you, that's that final, that last, the, there's a last scene in the movie, it has Clifton Webb in it. It was not only poignant, but like a second later, I was laughing because of what he says. I have to tell you off camera, Moya.
Okay, I think I know what, if you say it, will it give it away?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we'll give it away.
Okay, I think I know she's talking.
Yeah. Which...
yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, but that scene had me. I was like, oh, and then laughing like this. Only Clifton Webb could do that.
Only Clifton
I was
Webb.
Like, one second I was like, oh, and then the next second I was laughing.
Right.
I have never had a movie do that to me before, but Clifton Webb did.
Right. Of course, you know who he was. He was Granny Grantham before there was a Granny Grantham. She might have looked at his stuff. I don't know. But kind of giving you a feel for it. Of course, they had great one-liners, and like I said, he was the quintessential European high upper crust class gentleman. So I mean, just so razor's edge. Hopefully we, you know, got you interested in it. Hopefully you enjoyed you know, our commentary. If you disagree with us, you know, we never want to give away too much of the movie. That's why we don't, you know, didn't go into great detail about everything. But what would you like to say in conclusion about the razor's edge?
This movie...
Why should someone watch it?
because this movie makes you think. It's very touching, but it makes you think about what is important in life. What is it about?
Yes.
What should we be doing with our lives?
Right.
And for that reason, I think this movie is a classic, and it's an essential movie that you need to watch. The performances are wonderful, and if seeing black and white makes you because you've always been exposed to color, let me tell you something. The scenes in this movie are so richly detailed. They glow.
Right.
This is like one of the most beautiful examples you will ever see of black and white, the black and white genre. So for at least those two reasons, you do want to see it because the set is amazing. The acting, the way, I mean, when you see Gene Tierney and Tyrone Power together, they are dynamite together.
Yes.
They have amazing chemistry. And so for those reasons, this movie is one of those you really do need to see. And I couldn't believe I hadn't seen it all these years. And so when I finally saw it, I got it. Now I know why. I'm so happy that Moya recommended I see it because I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
And you took the words right out of my mouth. When you say it makes you think, it transcends time. All of us, we think about, you know, what does my life mean? What is the meaning of life? What should I be doing with myself? How do we handle trauma, drug abuse? I mean, stuff we're still dealing with today, political turmoil and wars and such. But no, you took the words right out of my mouth. So Razor's Edge, Tyrone Power, Gene Tierney, and the rest, Ann Baxter, Herbert Marshall, John Payne, Clifton Webb, please see that version only.
Yes.
Please see that version. And let us know what you think about it. We'd love to hear your feedback. Before we go, we got to give a shout out to Kirk Douglas, who died 103 years old. I like to call him the original, the Beefcake King, honey. Just the cleft chin. Oh, man. He was Spartacus with that barrel chest. And I mean, he was just gorgeous. So condolences to the Douglas family. But we lost another icon. We lost another one. So who's the only one really left in that 100 crew? Olivia de Havilland. Still, she lives in France.
You're right. Olivia de Havilland.
Because everybody else is pretty much gone, man. I think. And this other gentleman, I can't think. He's always on TCM. He's in his hundreds. I can't think of his name. Y'all know who I'm talking about. He's still doing a lot of work these days. He used to work a lot with Hitchcock. Play really good villains. He was in, was it Sabotage? He was the villain. The one who got thrown off the building. Norman Lloyd. He's still alive. If he's not 100, he's 90, he's knocking on the door. But there's nobody left in that golden age. Besides Olivia, unfortunately. And also before we go, it's Black History Month. You saw the movie Harriet. So tell us what you think about that.
That's
the recent movie Harriet. Mm-hmm.
This movie is really good. I went into it first a little bit worried that it was going to be just so depressing and so oppressive, and it was just going to be really hard to get through. But you know, it wasn't that way at all. And I really recommend this movie, not only because of the blockbuster performance that the woman who plays Harriet delivers. Her name is Cynthia. My apologies. I don't know how to say her name. But she sounds like she's a British actress, but you would never know it until at the very end of the movie where they show some clips. But this is a fantastic performance, and I totally support her. I hope she gets Best Actress for this role, because she made Harriet Tubman flesh and blood living and brought out what an amazing hero and the brilliance of what she did. Against such impossible odds. And you know, she wasn't just this 100% perfect person. No, she wasn't.
Right.
They brought out everything about her to make her a real person. And what she went through and what she did, it was nothing less than miraculous. It was amazing. But you see, it's not stereotypical characters. All white people bad, all black people good. It's not like that. This movie shows you how I felt like it was very realistically portrayed. I felt like I was right along there with her. And it showed you like everything that she did, what she went through, and the other people, what times were like, it just was very real to me. This is a very real feeling movie. And you know, it's uplifting. It's empowering. Mm-hmm. That's what I loved about it. And the movie was directed by a woman, and all the people involved in the production, all the major parts, was a movie done by women. And so I have to say, it's brilliantly done. Don't miss it. And I really hope that this movie does really well at the Academy Awards, because it deserves to.
Well, if that ain't a movie in black and white, yeah. I don't know what is. Well, Georgia, we did it again. This is another one in the digital can, so to speak. Always a blast. Always a good time with you. And thank you again to come into my home. And, you know, you took the time out to spend your gas. And I really do appreciate that.
Thank you, Moya, for hosting here in your lovely home.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, again, we're getting to the point where we're going to say, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. So, again, we never know we just don't know what movie. It's a surprise. It's going to be a surprise when we see you next time. Hopefully it's one that you can engage with us and give us your feedback again. So I am Moya, and you are
Georgia,
and thank you for tuning in to Movies in Black and White. We'll see you next time, and always keep on supporting those good old black and white movies.
Yes.
Till next time. Bye bye. So I'll head out to Leslie.
We did
it, and it's still kind of under an hour, even with the technical difficulties.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I thought of something that was kind of interesting about how Jean Tierney, the reason that she took up smoking, well, you know, and the bad part is, yeah, she died of emphysema. But you know what she said?
What?
She tried to.